hope that you're coming. Registration forms are in the back. It's Park Crest and Cascades, and it's I think it's the third year we've been doing this, and every year it is getting better. So if we have the slides up now. Again, thank you for the invitation to come and speak here. I always enjoy it. I feel at home here. And it's a beautiful day out there, so I'm not going to keep you too long. This has taken about an hour to go outside, and it's absolutely beautiful. Congratulations on your beautiful surroundings, your gardens, your patio, and your parking lot, your flowers. It's absolutely beautiful. Now, about 3 years ago, I spoke to you about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you probably don't remember. I checked on my preaching list. 3 years ago, I spoke on that. And if you remember, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Do you remember how many fruit of the Spirit there are? It's interesting because the word fruit here is kapos, which means singular. There's only one fruit of the Spirit. And a lot of people speak about the fruits of the Spirit. And I'm not going to talk about it because I did 3 years ago, even though you probably forgot. But it was an interesting, because if you take an orange, you look at that orange and you've got un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq, six, sept, huit, neuf. You've got nine segments, but it's only an orange. Is that not right? And that's what it is all about, the fruit of the Spirit. Just like an orange, there's nine parts to this particular orange. And that's what it is, what the fruit of the Spirit. But we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. What we're going to talk about today is the fruits. S, plural. By their fruits, we shall know them. By their fruits, we will recognize them. And we're going to be studying Matthew chapter 7, verse 16 to 20. And it's a very interesting subject, really. Just got into it a couple of weeks ago, and I've just been studying it. And some of the different translations, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. Go to the Greek, the Hebrew, go to the French, the Spanish, even Portuguese, But, you go to all these different Bibles in your own Bible, maybe it's Chinese, Filipino, get in it, read it, read the King James, the New King James, the New King James, the New. I don't think they're that one yet, but you understand what I'm saying? Because if you see this, you will know them by their fruits. That's one translation. You will know them by their fruit. Or you shall know them by their fruit. You will know them. You shall know them. This is an interesting translation. You will know them by what they do. That's a translation. Translation from the original language. These are not paraphrases. You will know them by what they do, or you will recognize them. You will recognize them by their fruit, or you can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. I like that one. Isn't that interesting? So we're going to look at these verses here. And to open up in your Bibles, please. We're going to put it up or open up in your iPad, iPhones, or your electrical device, and follow along in your Bible, in your electrical device, because I've got it up here for the visitors, and some people might not have their Bibles, but I always try to encourage people to use their Bibles, because you've got to know how to use this when you're in the public. And so let's read it, follow along. If it's a little bit different, that's okay. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do not pick grapes. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. What an interesting passage. So it's telling us here that we don't pick grapes from thorn bushes. We all certainly understand that. We don't pick grapes from thorn bushes. And also says we don't pick figs from thorns or thistles. Okay? What we learn from here, you can know a fruit tree by the fruit it produces. You can know a fruit tree by its product. And the reason I have these visuals is because I'm a visual person, and I think it will help us to understand both the interpretation and the application of this particular scripture. So what was the first question that came to your mind after reading this phrase of God? We're going to try to answer that, but what was your first thinking of it? By the fruits you will know them. What was the first question that came to mind after reading it? And then, what fruit have I produced in my life? Now we're going to talk about that. What fruit have I produced in my life? Are they good fruit or are they rotten fruits? And we are to examine ourselves, not examine the person in front of you or behind you, or you're not to examine the person to the left or the right of you. We've got to examine ourselves and ask ourselves today, what fruit have I produced? Okay? Then we could also say, another question comes to my mind, is what kind of fruit is God referring to? What kind of fruit? So these are some of the questions that we're going to try to answer. Now, when we see this, we're going to see very clear that God is using, is talking about, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to the writer who is Paul here, good works. He's talking about good works. Fruits here, one of the applications is your good works. Now remember, we are not saved, I'm going to repeat this at least three times, we are not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. I have so many of my friends, and I've been friends in Quebec, or I have many of my friends in Argentina, who go to church every Sunday, not evangelical churches, but they go to the church that's sort of recognized in these two different places, and they think they can get to heaven with their good work. Well, I give blood to the Red Cross, I help the old lady cross the street, I help people take groceries from their car to their house, I rake leaves in autumn for people who can't rake leaves, and they think they can win, they can earn, they can merit their salvation. But Paul is talking about good works here. But again, we are not saved by good works, we are saved for good works, which is very, very interesting. And here are just two examples, and I'm going to ask you some examples later on, because maybe what you have in mind will help me. Because sometimes we have to, I don't want to use the word invent, but we have to look for incidents where we can do good. As I gave you just a couple, helping that dear little old lady across the street. Can I help you, ma'am? Come on now. You're going to have to help me across the street pretty soon, so I'm going to help them. But these are the good fruits. So we said, God has a plan. And God's plan for all of us is to glorify His Father. And we glorify His Father by doing good works. How many times I've boosted a person in the winter with cables on their batteries, and they've wanted to pay me, and I'll say, no, God bless you. And they'll say, what? I'll say, God bless you. No, you blessed me. God didn't bless you. I said, yes, God blessed you through me. You with me? And this is what good works is all about. And you can't always give a nice evangelical Bible-believing tract to a person. I mean, but you can earn the right to tell them that God loves them by doing good works. Are you with me? I hope you are. Because I think this is an exciting application and a lesson for all of us. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That is pretty strong. Take it there, Paul, he said. Careful. Because when you think that, this close relationship between fruit and the actions we take, the fruit and the actions, if the actions are good and the actions we're doing are in the plan of God, then He will bless us. But if they're not good, and they're not according to the plan of God, what's going to happen to them? Well, it's pretty drastic, this thing. That's what's going to happen to them. So a lot of things I probably do in my life, and I'm being honest with you, And maybe they're not. They're just going to be thrown into the fire. Maybe I'm doing it in what we call the flesh. Maybe I'm doing it to think I'm going to earn brownie points. Maybe I do it because I think I'm going to, get in favor with or receive something. But that's not. God wants us to do things according to His plan. God, do you want me to do this? God, do you want me to do that? God, do you want me to go here? Do you want me to go there? God will reveal Himself through the Scriptures, and as we obey Him and live according to His plan, we are going to be blessed. Oranges. Nothing like a nice orange. Nothing better than a nice orange. Oranges grow on orange trees, right? Now, apples grow on apple trees, and some of you from the Okanagan Valley, you can certainly appreciate this. Now, lemons, they grow on the lemon tree. Now, how about this picture? Something's wrong with this picture. We laugh at that. But you know, we'll know a tree by its fruit. Now, we know that bananas don't grow on a lemon tree or a lime tree. Let's look at the next one. Look, let's see what. If we have an orchard, we have to look after it. Right? Now, again, you people from the Okanagan, I know some of you here from the Okanagan, you have to look after that orchard. What do you have to do? First, you have to weed around it. Now, I was telling some people downstairs that I spend I spend 3 to 4 months a year in Argentina in a camp. And I was a director there. I started the camp in 1985. Now I'm the toilet cleaner. But that's okay. I think I'm doing it. I hope I'm doing it. I pray I'm doing it for the Lord's glory. Again, this is good works. I think this is plan. Now, what I have to do with that camp a lot of times, it's hard to get down there, but I get down and I do a lot of weeding. Because if I don't weed, the weeds will overtake the flowers, will overtake the fruit tree. So if you want a good orchard and you want to produce good fruit, you've got to weed it, right? What else do you have to do? You have to water it. Very important. It's 50 degree temperature in Argentina, and I spend hours and hours watering. We don't have shortage of water. We have a lot of sand, and we go down about 4 feet. 4 meters down, and we hook and we get a fairly good quantity of good water for the plants, for the grass, and everything else. Then we've got to protect them from insects. It is so important in orchards, even here, and you'll see some people paint the trunks of the trees with lime. I don't know, I do it myself. I don't know if they say it's supposed to be good so the ants don't come up and eat the leaves, because I've seen a tree. This fall, a new tree that I planted in one day, and the next day there's no leaves on it. Because that night, ants came up and ate it. So you've got to protect it from ants. Now, another very important one here, you've got to protect it from diseases. And that is quite prevalent in Argentina, where there's a lot of different plant diseases. And be careful the birds don't eat the fruit. Now, I live here, and the camp's here, and the neighbors are over there. And many times I'll be working, and I will hear boom! And I'll keep working, and maybe 2 hours, 3 hours later, I hear boom! So I went over to my neighbor. I said, "Well, what in the world are you doing?" He says, "I've got a 14-day shotgun, and I'm killing the laurels." Laurels are parrots. Little green parrots, and they eat the fruit trees. And my neighbor, we don't have all the laws you have here, so my neighbor, anytime the laurels get into his fruit trees, boom, and it makes quite a bit of noise. See, so if you want a good orchard, you've got to weed around it, you've got to water it, you've got to protect it from insects, you've got to protect it from diseases, and be careful the birds don't eat them. This is in the physical realm. This is what we take black on white, what the Apostle Paul is trying to get across. But how about spiritually? How can we apply this spiritually? Well, God's Word is a living water that detoxifies our soul. The more we drink of it, the more it cleanses, refreshes, and renews us. What I'm trying to say, we've got to water our spiritual life, spiritual application, if we want to produce good fruit. We've got to get into the Word of God. We've got to study to show ourselves approved unto God, work enough to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. If we want to have good fruit, if we want to have a good orchard, if we want to produce what God has in our life to produce for Him, His plan, we've got to water with the Word of God. And if you don't water your garden spiritually with the Word of God, you're going to have rotten fruit. Now, don't get after me. I'm not saying you're rotten. Some people tell me I'm rotten sometimes. But this is just a spiritual application of this verse. We have to water our life with the Word of God. What else do we have to do? We have to also pray. We must pray. And those two things in our lives, see, praying is talking to God. God talks to me through His Word. Wow. You know, I like what our brother said this morning, Steve, and he's not here so I can use this as an example. You know, we come together Sunday morning, and we have a feast here this morning. If you missed it, and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you missed the feast. We had a banquet here. You're going to say, banquet? I don't smell any roast beef, or I don't any chicken or turkey. But we sat here for 45 minutes, and Steve said, he's done it thousands of times, and we just worship the Lord. And as we pray to the Lord, He hears our prayers. As we read the Scriptures and sing these songs to worship Him, He comes in and He helps us grow. We have to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Christian life is not stagnant. When I go up north sometime and I see some of these ponds of water with white all around it, and there's just a bunch of bugs, and because, see, the water goes in there. It's like the Dead Sea. The water goes into the Dead Sea, and it doesn't go out. And what we have to do, we have to water our life with the Word of God, and we've got to pray, and then we're going to produce good fruit. Matthew 7:17 says, a good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, but a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. This is so true. And we have to look at it. I mean, when you see a tree like this, this here, a tree is identified by the fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. And when you see a picture like that, isn't that beautiful? Now see, that has been watered. That has been weeded. That has had probably insecticide. That's right, we're going to put organic, of course, now, not just any kind. You're with me? But look at that. It's nice to hear this screen. Look at that. Nice oranges and, oh, lemons and wow. How's your life? How's my life? I can preach and talk, get all excited about the Lord, but if I'm not doing what He wants me to do, there's going to be no rewards, there's going to be no fruit, there's going to be no happiness, there's going to be no joy. But as we do, as we try, when you see a picture like this, isn't that disgusting? You know, I was asked the other day when I was preparing this sermon, somebody asked me, Ron, what's worse than finding a worm in an apple? Can anybody tell me? Yes?
Finding an apple worm.
Right. Can you imagine? A half a worm. Good thing. It had nothing to do with my son, but anyway, I thought it was kind of good. Anyway, this is rotten fruit. Look at this one. Isn't that rotten? See, they didn't look after it. They didn't do what they were supposed to do in this particular orchard. Yes, God has a plan for all of us. God's master plan for us is to glorify the Father. That's why Jesus came to earth. He came to glorify the Father. And all that Jesus did all of His life did good works in the plan of God. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you looking for situations where you can to do something good for somebody, and then after doing something good for something, you can very graciously and lovingly say to that person, I love you. We've got a banquet coming up at Broadway Church, and it's free. Why don't you come along with me? It's free. Come on, I'll take you up. I mean, what a wonderful thing that would be. Not that it's free, but that you're doing good works. That you're doing what God wants us to do. God wants us to do work, do good works. And that is so important. Here's some examples of good works. Of course, we're going to ask you to help me, but there's some. Helping the lady again, giving a person some bread, and giving them a glass of cold water. See, I do this in Argentina. When the garbage men come at 7:30 in the morning, and it's probably already 35 degrees, I'm out there with a big jug of cold water with ice in it, with a glass, and I give it to them. Do I do that at brownie points with God? No, I do that because I want these guys to know that this turkey over here that lives right there is different than the majority of the people. When the gas guy comes, how many times I said to the gas guy, hey, venga acá, vamos a tomar mate junto. Come on over here, we'll have a mate junto. And usually they're out in the country there, 7 miles from the city. They've got a little extra time. Usually here they don't, they just go. You sit down and have a mate with them. These are kind of things. When the camp has extra food, what do? I gather that food up and I go to the barrio, I go to the poor neighborhoods in the area, and I get the food. I remember about 4 years ago, we had a real crisis in Argentina, and I cleaned the plates off, the plates that people were eating off. And I got a big thing like this, and I went and I said to a person, I said in Spanish, of course, I said, you know, I don't want to disrespect you, I don't want to... I don't know how to say the names, but anyway, I said, I have food here that we clean off of the place where people eat when you want. Oh, oui, si, si, por favor, gracias, gracias, Fernando. Food off of other people's plates. We were going through a crisis. But these are things, I'm just giving you some examples, I want some from you pretty soon. Here's an example. This year we had a little garden ourselves. We get there and In January, we planted this. Does anybody know what they could be? Good for you, yeah. Well, we planted it, and we put some ants around it so the ants wouldn't get in it. We watered it. Look, isn't it beautiful? Well, what happened? That was what it produced. That's what it's supposed to produce. We have an expression in Spanish which is beautiful, mucho pinta poco nueces. Looks really wonderful, but there's nothing good in it. I hope that's not what is in your life or my life, and I'm not pointing fingers. Maybe there's a lot of woo, but there's no fruit. I mean, look at that. That was about a month and a half of looking after and keeping the dogs out of it and watering it and taking a little weed. You can see it, there's not too many weeds there. And that was the fruit that was produced. What a wonderful example this is the fruit that we should have produced. Are we like that sometimes? Am I like that sometimes? The Bible shows it very distinctly. Now, how can we produce good fruit? How can we do it? Well, I love this verse here. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Nada. Again. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. By myself, nothing. So if you want to produce fruit, you've got to abide in it. That means you've got to spend time with the Lord. Now, maybe I don't get on my knees anymore. I've got metal knees and metal hips, so I don't get down. You saw me trying to get down there, and I had a hard time. But are we spending time with the Lord in prayer? And you don't have to be kneeling, you don't have to be prostrate on the ground, you can just be standing, you can be waiting for a bus, a sky train, you can just be praying and asking God to use you, to show people around you that you're full of good works, that you love them and that you care for them. But this is a verse This is how you can produce good fruit. Abiding in Him. Seeking to be Christ-like. Seeking to be like Christ. That's my desire. How many times I move in a week? I shouldn't even be standing here sometimes. You know, you get thoughts and you just. But isn't it wonderful if we confess our sins, His faith and just to forgive us our sins? It says here that we are to, in some translations, remain in me. In others it says, continue in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who remains in me, he who continues in me. And when we do that, we know how His feelings, we know how Christ thinks. And we try to imitate them. You know, there's nobody in Hollywood, I don't think there's nobody that I really want to try to imitate in Hollywood. In sports, maybe Messi. No. You know what I mean? But I want to imitate Him. And if I continue in Him and remain in Him, I'll know how His feelings. I'll know His way of working. I'll know the way that God acts and reacts. I want to be like Christ. And when we're like Christ, we will produce good work. Now, how do we do that? Reading the Gospel strengthens us. Reading the Bible. If we want to be like Christ, we want to imitate Christ, we want to be real Christians, we've got to read the Gospel, read the Bible. When I was in high school, and I used to walk around the Vancouver Tech with the biggest, blackest King James Bible on top of my books, I thought I was pleasing God. Okay, I'm a fanatic. They called me everything. I won't mention all the things they called me because you wouldn't invite me back. But they called me the preacher. They called me the sissy. They called me the pastor. They called me the priest. They called me all of those things and others. But I did that thinking it was a way to witness to Jesus. And sometimes it did, but sometimes it was more negative. But if I want to be like Christ, I've got to read constantly the Scriptures. If I want to be like Christ, I've got to seek Him in prayer, the importance of prayer. I go to prayer meeting every Tuesday night. Why do I go to prayer meeting? Because I'm not one of those people that get on my knees or sit down for 2 hours and pray by myself. There's people like that, and I've got two or three people in my mailing list, emailed them this, that I sent yesterday one lady at our church, I sent her my next 5 speaking engagements. And I got to send that. And I said, pray for me at a park test tomorrow morning. Pray for me tomorrow night at 10th Avenue. And I gave her all the list. But we've got to pray. We've got to seek Him in prayer. We've got to pray for one another so as to know Him. And when I was in school, as I said, we were in a club called ISCF, Interschool Christian Fellowship. And our motto was to know Christ, to know Him, and to make Him known. And that should be our motto for life. So if you read the Scriptures, you read the Bible, you seek Him in prayer, so you will know Him. Know Him the way He thinks. People got after me because I did a lot of studying in schools. I went to 3 years at Institute of Bethel Bible School in 3 years, working at the same time, 3 years. Then I came back in, I did 4 years at Northwest Baptist. Am I bragging? I'm not bragging. I'm just showing you that I had a desire to learn the Word of God. And everybody can't do this. And when I went to school, I passed on Charlie, grade 2, 4, and 6, and I flunked grade 8 twice, so you can see what type of education I had. I finally got my grade 12, it was two years late. But I wanted to know about it. I did 40 correspondence courses from Emmaus. Why? Because I wanted to know Him. I wanted to know the way He thinks. I wanted to know the way He feels. I wanted to know the way He would react, the way He would function in today's society. And that's why I'm glad He was here on earth for 33 years. And He got to speak to Him. He was tempted like us. He was triste, sad like us. And then to confront Him with my thinking, feelings, and actions. Lord, I want to feel like You. I want to act like You. I want to think like You. then I will do good works. And that's why we're here on earth. The Bible shows us very distinctly that. To be like Him, which is so important. Much fruit. I want to produce lots. Now, I don't want to, I'm not in competition with my brother here or my sister there. I'm not in competition, but I want to do lots of fruit. And now, how can we do that? Because the Lord tells us to do that. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. We are to produce much fruit. And as I go through Scripture and I look at Scripture and I study Scripture, it tells me over and over that I'm to do much fruit. And we find that here in John 15, verse 8. Galatians 3:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I live in the body, I live through faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself up to die on my behalf. We are to be crucified with Christ. We are to present ourselves to Him and say, every morning I get up out of bed, I sit on the edge of my bed, and I say, Usame. Every morning. Use me. That's all I say. I don't go in a long prayer. Maybe I should spend 20 minutes praying, but I just, before I brush my teeth, before I have a shower, anything, I say, Usame. Use me, Lord. And that should be the desire of my heart all the time, if necessary. He who loves the Lord produces what? Much fruit. Verily I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls down to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Are we crucified with Christ? Do we do what He wants us to do? Questions to take home. Questions to think about this afternoon. It's a beautiful day out there. You might be sitting in the patio having a nice cup of coffee or a cup of tea or a mate or something like that. And here's a couple of things just to think about. What does the phrase mean to you? By their fruits you will recognize them. We started off with this. I've given you some ideas. Now, what are some of the fruits we can produce? Help me. We're in a nice family situation here, and you won't have to be embarrassed. What are some of the good works we can do that might help your brother or sister in their everyday walk? Help me. Speak.
Be kind.
Be kind. Yeah, be kind. And it's not always easy to be kind to the unkindly. It was funny. The day before yesterday, this person came to the door. He had a big red valise, a big red suitcase, and knocked on the door, and Gloria opened up the door. And, you know, she wanted to say, no, thank you, I'm not interested, we're not needing anything. And the fellow says, I'm here for Daddy, here's something for him. I mean, you know what I mean? Be kind. We could have been unkind to that person. We could have said to that person, no, we're not interested, like, click, boom, chop, I'll be there, chop, go, I'll be there, and you're gone. No. Fortunately, she said, yes, can I help you? Yes, I'm here with this. You see the illustration? Be kind. Love yourself. Otherwise, how about that nice cherry pie or apple pie that you made? Why not make an extra one and take it to that lady down the street that's got 3 or 4 children and no husband? Wow. Why not? Other examples. Forgive him. Forgiving. Wow. These are easier to say than done, aren't they? To forgive that person. We've been forgiven. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people recognize you by your fruit? What fruit have I produced in my life? What do I do to produce good fruit? These are questions. What must I die to so I can produce fruit? What is there in my life that's hindering me producing good fruit? What must I do to abide in Him? We are so busy. You're busy, I'm busy, we're all busy. But we must abide in Him. We've got to find that time, whether it's the morning, evening, whenever, we've got to find that time. What must I do to know Him better? In closing, we are not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. Where do I find that? I find that in the Word of God, Ephesians 2. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared before, so that we might walk in them. God prepared before. It says it all there. It says it all there. Now, these things are all good. Can you see that okay up there? I think you can. Good works. Christian parents, baptism, going to church. These are all important things, but they won't make it to heaven. I mean, all of these things, man's here, he's sinful. God is here. And good works don't make it. Religion don't make it. Philosophy, morality, they don't make it. You know, the only thing that makes it is the cross of Jesus Christ. And He's the only thing that makes it. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And it's only getting across that a gap is by the cross of Christ. Have you accepted Jesus? Have you said, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life? Come in today. Come in this day. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. You can do that today. I'll be putting my stuff around here. There's no hurry to run off. Yes, we have to go do some good work, but we've got to do it for Jesus' sake. Jesus saves. He's the only one that saves. And after we're saved, we have to do good work. God bless you. Any questions, I'll be around. I'm just closing the word of prayer. And I hope that this has been a challenge. Now, next week, the sermon is why. Why? Why is there so much suffering in this world? Why is there so much suffering? Why did George Webster die? Why did B.J. Ram die? Why? We're going to try to answer that next week here, bring your friends, from the Word of God. Why? A question that everybody has. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, God Almighty, we thank you once again in the precious name of Jesus for this lesson on good works. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we do have the Spirit in us. We do have the 9 fruit of the Spirit, but Lord, help us to let them out. Lord, they're in us. Let us to allow the Holy Spirit to run our lives so He can help us in loving people and being patient and kind and all of these wonderful things are the fruit of the Spirit. And help us to do good works. Bless these dear saints here and friends and relatives of the Park Crest and continue to work through this lighthouse in this neighborhood. And continue to use us, and we'll give you all the praise and glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray, and good glory. Have a wonderful Lord's Day. It looks beautiful out there.